This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It is a presentation of Garretson Building Supply. We're checking in with Jim Bohannon. You will hear him weeknights 7 to 10 on the Jim Bohannon Show. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle.
Thanks for being on with us this morning. What really stands out to you right now in the news cycle around the nation?
Well, I think that probably the continued, I would have to say, fumblings of the Democrats. I don't think that the Biden administration has figured out exactly who they want to be. Periodically, you hear little outbursts from the president, like his those who say that the Democrats want to defund the police. They're lying. No, sir, they're not. And you know that. Granted, you have been at worst wishy-washy on the subject, but there are bunches of Democrats who have openly and used the very phraseology, defund the police, and he knows that, and I just think that it might serve him better, much less the country, if he simply said there are those within the Democratic Party who really believe that we should defund the police. However, the way forward is through police reform, and that would cost money. Now, that, I think, would be statesmanlike. It would be accurate. And for some reason, he feels this need to suck up to the left wing. And I have news for the president. If I were advising him and had his best interests at heart, I would point out that there are at most 36 congressional districts in the country where an AOC or an Ilhan Omar could win. They don't have the votes. Mr. President, if you want to rescue the impending disaster of the midterm elections next year, you've got to stop sucking up to the left wing. However, as a partisan, since he's not inclined to do that, I say, go ahead. Self-destruct.
And do you feel like the administration has performed as you maybe were expecting going in?
No, and that's the part that really amazes me. The inaugural address, remember Mr. Healing, Mr. Unity? And I remember thinking at the time, well, he's not such a fool that he's going to raise expectations along that front. Apparently, he's going to tone down the rhetoric. Well, of course, what we've seen is full bore, as hard to the left as we can go, to which the response has to be, well, then why did you let that speech get written? Didn't the person who wrote your inaugural address meet with the rest of the administration? Didn't that person know? I mean, it was just dumb. He set himself up. If he was going to be wholeheartedly partisan, well, that's his prerogative. I don't think it was a wise move, but he could have done that. But to set himself up with Healing and Unity, it was just dumb. Just dumb on his part.
How do you feel like the Republicans have done in reaction?
Oh, I think they're trying to take advantage of it, and I think that the history is on their side. Certainly, new presidencies of a different party tend to lose far more seats in their first midterm elections than the Democrats have to lose. And the way things have been going with the southern border and crime waves across the country, Democrats are going to lose the House huge come next November. I mean 30 or 40 seats. The days of Speaker Pelosi are gone. After January of 2023, her speakership is history, and I think that her seat in the House, probably she'll just simply sit out that term and then retire at the age of 82 by that time. They've done a pretty fair job of pushing this, and I think history, again, is on their side. They're going to take the House big. The Senate is very much within reach. There are 34 Senate seats up next year, 20 Republican. And five of those Republican incumbents are retiring. Still, I think that only one more seat is needed to wrest control from the Democrats. I think that the Republicans take both houses of Congress and grind the entire Biden agenda to a halt legislatively. And there's just not that much more he's got to do that he can do through executive orders.
And looking ahead with the midterms there, people are already talking about 2024. How does that set things up for the next presidential election cycle?
Well, that is very interesting. Now, I know there have been a lot of questions about just who's in charge in the Biden White House. And yes, we've all seen his cognitive difficulties. And, of course, we haven't seen all of them. The people in the cabinet, the White House staff, have certainly seen more the behind-the-scenes looks. My mother suffered from dementia before she passed away, and you have good days and you have bad days. And I don't believe that Joe Biden is drooling, but he obviously have good days and bad days. I hope that not a lot of the bad days took place when he was meeting Putin or President Xi of China. But I honestly think that probably the Democrats are going to try to ride out this through the midterm. I would say after their crushing defeat in the midterm, and I'm pretty confident of that, There will be a delegation, White House staffers, a few cabinet members, who will go to Jill Biden, probably before even Thanksgiving of 2024. They're not going to waste time. They're going to say, Dr. Biden, if you wish to rescue the legacy of your husband, you've got to get him to resign. And just so you know that we're serious, I can tell you that if he does not, that we are prepared to bring up the 25th Amendment on presidential succession. I think he might very well go. All of which would have worked out fine, except that Kamala Harris has been such a cipher, such a zero as vice president, that they don't have anybody to turn to. If, in fact, she becomes an interim president, she will not, as an interim president, might be considered the de facto nominee in 2024. The Amy Klobuchars and Elizabeth Warrens of the world certainly view her as very vulnerable. There will be a free-for-all for the Democratic nomination in 2024.
What about the Republican nomination?
Interesting question. In the beginning, I had said that based on what I saw at the time, right after the 2020 election, I didn't think Donald Trump would run again. I thought he'd had enough of the grief that he would wait and anoint somebody. But the way he's talking of late, it's almost certain that he will run. If he runs, I think it's probably almost certain he will get the nomination. He will not get it with my vote. I think it's time for the Republicans to move on. And certainly in the primary, any good conservative I'll vote for, DeSantis, for example, Senator Cotton of Arkansas, just to name two, I would vote for them over Donald Trump. But if he gets the nomination, which I think he probably would, then I would have no choice, because Donald Trump would be infinitely superior to anybody the Democrats would put forward.
So is there any potential for all this back and forth and all the sort of the drama between the Biden, what's taken place under Biden and how the Trump presidency went, for any third party to move more onto the table?
I don't really think so. It would take a major personality. No third parties have moved onto the table in recent years without a major personality, a Ross Perot, a George Wallace, somebody of that nature. There is no such person out there. If Donald Trump had tried to go third party, that would have altered the equation, but he's not. He's going to run for the Republican nomination. So no, third parties. This is a two-party country, and the only time we ever had a serious third party was in 1856, when the Republicans came along and the Whigs promptly disappeared and we were back to two parties. No, it's a two-party nation, and your Libertarians and your Greens are going to pick up 1% of the vote, but they're not going to be a factor.
So for the nation, how do you feel like things are going overall if you look beyond the administration and Congress?
Well, it's hard to do, of course, that without looking at some of the administration and Congress. We are, at least for the moment, lifting pandemic restrictions, although whether the Delta variant will alter that remains to be seen. But, again, we are not recovering like we should have. Let's not forget that the downturn of 2008, the dot-com bubble, the real estate bubble, there were reasons for that downturn. The 1929 Big Depression, there were reasons for that. People buying stocks on margin, those things were going to happen sooner or later. There was no reason for this other than the fact that we shut down the economy. Now, Kyle, you could argue that we shouldn't have shut down the economy, or we shouldn't have shut it down that long or that much, but that's beside the point. We arbitrarily shut down a strong economy. And theoretically, that recovery should now be going like the Acme springs that Wile E. Coyote straps on his feet. The economy should be going boing. And it's not, really. And part of that is increased regulation, increased taxation, and the fear of increased regulation and taxation. This administration, through Congress and through the White House, is to a certain extent stifling any recovery. So that's part of the problem. The disaster of our major cities, crime running rampant in California now, they have essentially decriminalized shoplifting. You think stores are going to stay in places like San Francisco? Already seven Walmarts, Walgreens, I guess, have closed down in San Francisco. Business isn't going to stay around for that. So I don't think the country's doing it all that well, and I think most of it is highly partisan, and it's going to crush the Democrats next year.
Jim Bohannon, weeknight 7 to 10 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Jim, thanks for being on this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Kyle.
8:43, Morning Conversation, a presentation at Garrett's, a building supply.
Are you looking for a new roof? This is Pam.